IVM.
Stories, we've got stories. They're a little bit of funny and a little bit of dissimilar. You want to hear them? It's got humans. They're sitting in a box and talking bold Edward out loud.
I haven't had chai in 2 days. So they've not let me.
Why?
I had a bad stomach thing over the weekend. No, I was just shitting water, man. It was
I think
horrible.
It's the food we had last week. It's caught up with you.
No, man. It was something on Friday night. Somebody sent me a cake because I put out the special. And I think it's the cake. Like Vakar sent the cake. I think it's the cake. It could also be the water at J-Spot. Both of these. Like comedy club water is never to be drunk.
It's so funny because 2 days ago he sent me a cake. And I'm worried about my stomach.
After we're off air, remind me to tell you the cake date story.
Okay.
After we're off air because like the story should not spread out any further than it's spread already.
Just say it, man.
No,
then,
no.
For our pleasure.
It's a shitty story.
That's okay.
No, I'm not saying this anyway.
We've had such horrible, grotesque stories on our show.
Dude, I've never heard anything worse than this, so I'm not doing it.
Yeah, but that's the thing.
No, my interest level is speed. I'm not moving forward.
It's not a personal story, thankfully, but still.
We'll do it off air. It's always nice to have something off air that we can share between us.
Yeah.
Later. Hey, so what I was saying is, this I was complaining in the lift only to him about this. But we have to stop kind acts unless they can be done on time. Okay,
that's what the fuck is kind acts?
Kind acts is my wife has packed me lunch.
Okay.
And food, because I have to go on set after this. I might not get good food. She has done a lot of effort. Thank you, Shubha. Wow. But could it be done by 11:30 when I have to leave?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, thank you.
Oh, fuck.
But.
You're Cyrusing it today.
Yeah, but why does it have to be at this.
At 12.
Why do I have to be late?
Be punctual with your favors, people.
Yes! That is the t-shirt quote.
That's true, man. Like, but then I think the act counts in the long run.
I agree the act counts in the long run. But in the short run, the lateness counts.
Considering your stomach has been screwed for the past few days, no, I think this act counts right now. And we can wait a few minutes without you going you were going to go.
Latrine is the word.
Latrine.
Yeah.
Remember Robin Hood Men in Tights?
Yeah.
So you remember the witch in the movie, her name is Latrine.
Yeah.
And at one point she says, I changed my name. And the guy's like, you changed your name to Latrine? What was it before? And she says, shitpot.
Yeah. Fucking Mel Brooks knew how to
make Mel Brooks, I love him
again,
so much.
Speaking of shit jokes, like he could make like entire fight scenes just like symphony.
So funny, Mel Brooks, God.
Yeah. Monty Python.
Monty Python was
in Monty Python, but
That was also superb. Yeah. Monty Python was the next level of this thing, dude. Like especially that
they were the first next level.
Yeah, that first time I saw the horse thing where they do tuk 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 with the clap. You haven't seen that?
Yeah, probably.
In Life of Brian also, and in the other one also.
No, this is not Life of Brian. This is in.
They're accompanying the horses with that sound.
But there are no horses.
Yeah.
And that just it blew my mind that you could do this.
They had no money. They had no money. They were just like playing into it.
Oh, they were so funny, man.
Dude, for me as a Christian child, imagine watching like the Have you seen Life of Brian? The end scene where they like start singing on the fucking cross, okay? And they're thinking about like the positive side of life and it's so bizarre.
Yeah.
Because they're all crucified. And like for the longest time, it's just like the poverty porn of the fact that somebody dies. It's been very high. these are the worst people. So much.
For me, the scene where, you know, Jesus is on the thing and he says, he talks and then somebody from far away goes, we can't hear you.
It's
so good. It's so perfect.
Perfect, yeah.
Oh man.
But that's why now they need mics in churches, because earlier all the constructions were like the domes were built in such a way that you could stand in one spot and then the voice just like ricochets.
We still have those churches in Bombay though, right? Like the old ones.
Yeah, but they still have mics now because like
yeah.
The priests also don't want to like throw their voice so far. Technology is our friend. Except condoms.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Catholics don't do the condoms.
For the Catholics only.
Yeah,
we put sheepskin.
Unless you don't want to have like children, then they're fine.
You have to not.
They're forsaken.
You can't even. Can you do a what's it called?
Gotra.
The nasbandi for men. What is it called? The
circumcision.
No, vasectomy. Man. Vasectomy. Is vasectomy okay in Catholicism?
I doubt it.
It's not mentioned in the Bible. That technology.
I think it'll be in the 2023 edition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks,
Julian.
Thanks to you.
Yeah, gosh, what the fuck?
Snippy, snippy.
No, I'm just
there's a documentary out called 1946. Okay. So it's a colon some fucking phrase.
Colon.
But the idea is that there's a whole thing in the Bible where homosexuality was like post 1946 was like where the rage began. Like, oh, you know, you're immoral if you're laying with a man and everything.
Yeah.
And it was just like someone ran with that translation instead of that being the literal translation. Before that, all the Bible said, if you do all these dirty things, like which include so many things.
Yeah.
But they just chose to go with homosexuality and made that like the thing. So you should watch the documentary if you are able.
But I mean, my grandmother forced me to read the Bible, you know, because I was brought up Catholic. I don't remember any line where it says, "Thou shalt not bugger thy friend."
Yeah,
not that exact band of phrase.
No, that would be "Thou shalt not bugger thy bugger."
Yeah. "Thou shalt not play with your friends' avlas." That would have been the levels of wrong.
Deep cuts.
Yeah, but it's funny that, like, overall, that's the problem for the church, unless you're an altar boy.
There's a lot of problems with the church.
Yeah.
Fuck it. I don't want to get into it. Sid Gooda, I'm happy you're here. Cheers, always have the best stories. I met Sid at Hashbase's wedding.
Nice.
Yeah, he was the first guy I met. There was like 8 people at that point. Mm-hmm. We met and then I think we hung out for the rest of the evening. I really don't remember because after 1 hour, it was a blur.
It was like winter, so it was early. Like it was the night was early. And I remember we got there at around, you were on time. You came at 5 sharp.
So both of us came around between 4:45 and 5 something.
Okay. Okay. It was in Delhi, right?
Yeah, in Faridabad.
Okay.
And before we knew it, because then Bharat and all also came and more people joined. But by the time like we looked around, we were like, guys, we're so high and drunk and what time is it? And it was like 7 and we're like, fuck.
I remember it being 6 when that first happened. Like, it's been only an hour. The bar opened at 5.
Yeah.
And but then it was all a blur. There is video evidence, that's why I remember bits of it.
Yeah.
And then he like called me some days later and was like, who the fuck is this guy? Memories came back. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, oh, oh.
It was such a great wedding, dude. Day one, though, I was completely like, I was just like being starstruck, but keeping it cool. Because I've been listening to this guy's music for like fucking my whole, you know, like since my formative years.
But like a normal Bombay kid, I didn't know that till like some hours of
yeah. Yeah, but then I was like also trying to keep it low. But then by the end of it, like it got, I started like fanboying also a little bit here and there. Like I couldn't hold it back beyond a point.
By which time we were very high.
Yeah, everyone was very drunk, dude. Everyone was also like, hurry.
India
so,
feels.
Yeah, it was all fine.
It was amazing.
Yeah,
was
day great. 2 was fucking much more controlled.
All of us made sure to like drink responsibly and controlledly.
Far more family members and.
But drink nonetheless.
Yeah,
of course. Don't be silly.
There was this. This is one photo where Hash was telling me about you're there and then who else was bald? Benny's there, Hash's dad is there and then somebody else is there and it's a series of 5-6 photos of everyone's just plastered and uncle is the only sober one there and you can see them like and then they say and then both Sid and Benny turn to Hash's dad and kiss him
oh wow.
On either side of the cheek and it is the most adorable
he's really sweet uncle is awesome.
Yeah, no, he like it's such a nice
such a
guy.
Seat to them, that whole family. Hashbase is awesome, his wife is awesome, the in-laws are awesome. Isha, his wife's mother. Yeah. I've never seen a mother love a daughter so much ever in my life. It was mind blowing.
Nice. It's so crazy when you have to go to see other people's wedding and see all that love. And I'm like, what's wrong with my family? Why can't my mother love my sister like that?
Yeah. Occasionally I wish my dad would smile more.
Yeah. It's crazy, man. Like I think I remember like now my dad's mellowed down a lot. So like as you said, like kissing uncles, you know, it's like it's a good thing. They should be appreciated at certain point in their life where they break down from all the macho inhibition bullshit and then this will become like mellow a little bit.
Yeah.
You were talking about getting plastered and I was not at the wedding, so I don't have anything to offer.
It was just a normal time game. You can imagine you were there.
Yeah.
You'll remember about as much as we do.
But I've said this since, but I think musician wedding over comic wedding.
He's been harping about this.
Yeah, yeah. Actually. Any day. I want to go to all musicians' weddings from now on. They are way better people to hang out with than comedians.
2 years of thing, right? Like speaking from the outsider perspective, because I'm not invited to any weddings.
Invited to my wedding.
Yeah, but like, I was so even at your wedding, there's too many comedians, right?
Yeah.
So it's like too many cooks essentially. So everybody's trying to like edge one each other off in like the funny way. Nobody's like just being like nice to each other.
Nobody's just hanging out. You know what I mean? And like at Hash's wedding, all the musicians got on stage together and they were singing and all. And I'm like, this in comedy is not happening.
Imagine 10 people from like Delhi to Bangalore just doing like multiple sets at the same time.
Oh, God.
It'll be crazy. Like
I've seen you guys like do improv sets like that.
Yeah, but I don't want to see.
that was a deep insight.
Two sentences for you, two sentences for me. Yours has to be a question, yours has to be a statement, and yours has to be a confession.
Yeah.
Okay, go.
Yeah. You know, different games have combined, but sure. It's full of improv.
But that's pretty much improv, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a plastered wedding story if you'll want to.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
So, again, we had a 3-day wedding because roast and then wedding and all happened. And then at the roast, it wasn't Goa. And they booked a resort for the roast, and I was like, yes, because you know, resort and everything, and there'll be booze and everything. And there was like a no booze thing. There was some dry day nonsense happening. And this was in June and very hot, essentially, in Goa. So we're all like, just like boiling, and we're like, just let's get the roast done, man. Let's get the roast. Yeah. There's like a nice fucking kidney shaped pool right there next to
how
the.
How do you even do a roast without getting drunk?
Yeah, so then basically, then eventually, there was a like a alcohol shop in, because it's Goa. It was just like two steps away, it was an alcohol shop. So everybody would just like go put the roast on and then go and get drunk and come back again. Like just like, so uncles were also doing it, aunties were also doing it, and the kids also doing it. So like every level, we all knew like who has to like go and shuffle. And then at some point, we were like, why are we doing this? There's a car outside which belongs to us only because we were friends and all. So we just like packed an entire carton and got.
Yeah,
so
nice.
Like now who wants? Just like, and they're like, should we pay you 35 rupees? And I'm like, what the fuck? So much fucking fun. So then we all just got drunk, okay? Then like now we're just like, now we're hot also because it's fucking. So then we were just like, should we just go in the pool? We just go in the pool. And this we went in the pool, dude. We just like, most of us just jumped in. And all the aunties are like, they actually jumped in. And when we just jumped in, and it was nice.
Yeah, fuck yeah, dude.
It was great.
Like, this is like a controlled anarchy situation.
Yeah.
You know, like, dry day to kya hua?
Yeah.
Ye swimming pool hamara nahi hai to kya hua?
And I was so drunk that I was like, I can do a belly flop, okay? like backwards flop or whatever you call it.
Oh.
So I did this and I just landed flat on my back and it burned for 5 days, dude. It was so bad.
Ouch.
Yeah. Also, if it was a dry day, were you like breaking open the booze shop and stealing?
No, they were selling it under the fucking thing. Little bit the shutter
goes. Yeah, okay. Yeah, as is the way.
Yeah.
As is the way across the Konkan. You know?
Or no, anywhere, man. I remember going to Gurgaon in the old
What will they do? Stop people from drinking? Like, yeah, that's the only joy left we have.
I just remembered one amazing wedding story.
Yeah.
Friend's wedding. One friend's girlfriend has gotten really drunk. So a couple of girls have taken her to the bathroom to like splash water on her. At which point, another friend's mom is walking in the bathroom, and this guy's mom was a rager, and she was like, remember the trans gigs in the 90s and 2000s in all the culture
films?
She used to go for those. She's like hidden in closets to not get arrested on the raids and all that. She was a rager. I love her. Like, she's, her gifts to me at like things used to be like, you know, that was like a happy birthday, see what I got you from the hills.
A chocolate.
She was really cool.
Yeah.
So she walks into the bathroom and sees these two girls, three girls with this one passed out girl, and she goes, I know what's going on. She's having a bad trip. Starts fucking slapping the fuck out of this fucker. And everybody's like, no, she's not on any drugs. She's just drunk. And his auntie's like, no, I've seen this. No, fine.
Deservedly so.
Nice. That poor girl, luckily she was passed out. She doesn't know anything. She would have woken up the next morning. Oh, why is my face bruised?
Yeah, this is sore. Fuck. And I'm just like, this is a new effect of hangover.
Yeah.
Probably didn't believe that this auntie slapped her, so like, somebody else hit me, I'll get them.
Yeah, when you wake up from injuries and you don't know how you have them on your body, it's absolutely the worst.
Yeah, the post-drinking bruises, no?
Yeah.
Like, it's the, oh man, like on the fucking elbow or some knee and shit, and then you're like, I don't know this one.
Eventually, a flash will come back of something, you know, like,
dude, yeah, sometimes, like, you know, but a lot of times, no.
Yeah.
Because especially, I think my arms are also a little lanky. So I keep bumping into something or the other on a daily basis. And then, like, when you're drunk, you're just doing it with more force than you usually would.
And you also do a lot of this. Like, it's like a very puppet move where Akash will just, like, so I'm telling you, and then just, like, drop glasses and things. Like, in my own house, it's like just randomly, like, ashtray, my cat, pillows, everything in one plate. It's like a swoop.
Well, you have to. By the way, if you're listening to this, you don't know Sid Kudo is, go look up this band called, I don't know where to begin. You can look up Zero, you can look up Found Tobacco,
Helga's Fun Castle.
Yeah,
Ankur and the Gullet family.
Hash Bhai is live act right now. He's playing everywhere. He's a true rock and roll product of India.
A renaissance man.
Yeah.
Rock and roll revolution went nowhere.
What was I going to ask? I was going to say one story. I forgot what the story
cats.
Was. Oh yeah, fucking cats. Dude, it's so fun to like, okay, so you see this man, look at how he looks, and then you see him talk to cats, and then the voice is just so like, it becomes Mittu so quickly.
Absolutely, dude, that's how it is. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, but you're supposed to talk to your cats like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think they also prefer it.
They don't like high voices in general. That's why they don't like my partner. Like, because he just speaks.
Scientifically, they recognize that you're doing the baby voice. It's to them.
For them, yeah.
So out of any other conversations you have when you talk to them like that, they know it's them.
Ah.
Yeah, I'll be all like, you know, what the fuck is wrong with you? And I'm like, who's my baby girl? I'm just like, I have like some fucking 100 nicknames for my cat.
Same.
Yeah.
Same.
Her name is Evie. I don't know. I never call her Evie. It's all from Evers to like Evelyn. Like, it's like I'll make her like, I'll call her Evelyn Narona just like to make her feel like she's my child altogether. And so, and that was the thing, right? Like recently when my family was hanging out, I'm showing my family my cat photos, like, you know, fucking.
Yeah,
out of context, bizarre way, and they're all staring at me like, you don't realize me. Naveen, this is very abnormal. Like, you
know? Not in the cat world.
Not in the cat world.
Yeah, cat world, I'm a rock star. Four of them of all different colors and textures.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. I should do a stage show.
Absolutely. Well, they won't come.
They won't come. Yeah.
I think you'll need to do one of those lockdown wala ghar pe camera setup.
Have you not seen those cats from Britain's Got Talent where like they do like tricks and all? There's one lady, couple of ladies who have taught like these little Persian cats to do all these tricks. So they do like they do hula hoop jumps, they reverse climb a pole and then all of that, then they do fucking crazy.
This is like those circus animals, dude. They can't do this to cats.
No, but
but with cats, you know they wanted to do it.
Otherwise they'd bounce.
They won't give
it's a Netflix documentary also. What's going on in cats' mind or what cats are thinking or something like that, it's called. It's there. They have covered that story also.
Yeah.
So cats can be trained. In fact, even my cats, like sometimes I just do some things with them, and every one of them have individual personalities that they can adhere to. Like Evie, for example, has learned from whatever platform which is above my waist to jump onto my shoulder.
Like
a squirrel. So I have like, go to my real highlights, you'll see so many times which is perched on my shoulder. Like if I show my shoulder right now to you guys, you'll see exactly how scarred it is over the look at this. It's like, you see all these
absolutely normal.
So it's just like
covered in scratches,
but like, she just jumps on me and so I've just like she hears the word come and she knows exactly, which is very weird. And go and she jumps. Okay. Jinx, for example, when I say kisses, he just immediately pulses his head up and takes a kiss and goes away.
Wow, dude.
Yeah.
You are a rock star in the cat world.
But I have so much time as a comic, nothing to do with free time. I'm just like communicating with them in all these weird ways, right?
Yeah.
Like Quill, for example, before he fell sick recently, like I would do Quill shoot and he would fall sideways.
Oh,
wow.
Because that's anyways his method of getting pets. Okay. Like he'll ask you, scream at you from the living room to the kitchen. So you follow him. And the kitchen, he goes and plops. So I started metalizing it in a way that I'm like, shoot, and then he falls.
Then you have to pet him.
Yeah, then I have to pet him also. Yeah. But like, now
of course, it's part of the.
Now he stopped. Now he's just hungry all the time.
Normal cat.
My cats were never that. Mangesh was just dumb.
Your cats were cray cray, dude. Like,
yeah.
They had the option of running away and they would still come back. It was the weirdest fucking. Like when y'all were moving out from that office space. I remember they'd taken out the AC shaft, okay? So now there's no hole. There's a hole in the wall.
Yeah.
And there are two cats in the house. And they're still moving things out slowly, slowly. And when I went to check in on them, remember we were taking some stuff from the microwave and all we were taking. They were just, these two cats were just like stressed out and have shat everywhere, okay?
Yeah,
obviously.
And they were also experts at finding where the food is. So no matter where the guys kept the food, they would jump and get and like, open packets.
And Mangesh is insatiable hunger, dude. Like he's like, so he had an accident, okay? So I'm very sure he's not all there. Because like his spine is weird and he can't walk properly and his vertebrae are fused and all that shit. So, dude, and Siddhi was still fine. Like after a point, Siddhesh was like chilled with the idea of like, you will get fed when you will get fed. But fucking Mangesh would eat what? He opened package, bench on the vada vada kha raha ho. Now, but if you think about it, Mangesh lives in Punjab,
yeah.
Where he eats gai ka ghee like subay in the fucking morning. Like that's what he gets.
Kya mota ho gaya,
dude, he found his place. He maneuvered himself to where he needed to be, dude. From fucking Bombay to Vasai, Vasai to Delhi, Delhi to fucking Punjab.
He's going
to
be a life coach soon.
Yeah. Even Kaniz's cat, Bombay rescue cats, are now in South Africa chilling with their parents.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, I wish somebody picked me up from Bandra and took me to South Africa. It's nice. Good life. That's the thing, right? Like when my Abhi and I are thinking about moving out of the country, we are like, mm. what will you do with the cats? And we'll fucking leave them behind. I mean, I love them, but like somebody will take care of them. Because you can't take a species of a different country to Australia, apparently.
Yeah, you can't.
You have to keep them in Hong Kong for 6 months or something like that, then take them. Yeah. I'm like, they'll be anyways in a crate in fucking different country. My mom and dad could like rather keep them.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I'll take one of them.
Take.
Yeah.
We'll take Evie.
My friend is planning to breed his dog. And it's such a fascinating conversation.
Like personally or like... In the gay world, that's very different.
My friend Dhawal has a beagle.
Huh, Lola.
And, he recently met another handsome dog on the street who is also a beagle. And they're very similar in temperament.
Lovely.
So he wants them to... And I was like, dude, you're a dad, dude. Like, you're a dad arranging marriage for your fucking child.
This is the plot of 101 Dalmatians, dude. That's how it starts.
Yeah, but it's so...
It's a meat cute. You know what a meat cute is? You're so straight, dude. In romantic rom-com movies, for example, when the boy and girl first time meet, for example, if the book's in the front and they bump and the book falls, it's a meet cute. In 101 Dalmatians, like the dogs fall in love for the first time and both the dog walkers are walking them.
Yeah.
And then like their entangle happens and then the two then look at each other and they're like, oh, that's a meet cute. So that's a meet cute.
Oh.
Now you all know.
Yeah. Learning something new every day.
Every time. But what was that? Rosebud to meet.
Yeah. Oh man, Rose. Yeah. I will tell you later. It is a revelation of what happens in the state of nature.
Yeah. In the wild.
In the wild. Yeah. So this is my thing with this thing. Is how do you know?
What is your thing with what thing?
This dog sexing thing. Oh. Shouldn't you pick a dog that is of a different temperament? You know what I mean? Like, don't you want mixing of, like, don't you want, because otherwise it's too much of a thing, right?
Unlike cats, doggies don't have that much personality difference.
Oh.
So like
temperament. Yeah, pretty much like they're just like
I mean, if they're calm now, just because nothing's irritating them, then if something irritates them, they'll become whiny little bitches.
Yeah.
And then they go back to being sweethearts. Doggies are very like, unlike cats, are more simple to understand.
Yeah. And I say the entire story, man. Like, I've been following this account on YouTube and TikTok, and generally he does reels around the country.
How you are using TikTok? You can use TikTok
in
India?
He posts his TikTok videos on YouTube. So that's how I watch it. Uh-huh. Specified. Because on his videos, he's like, hey, TikTok fam, you know. Yeah, and I'm like, hey, I'm not on TikTok, but like, I'm your fam. Yeah, okay. Like that, I have some level of connection with him to some other medium, right? So he basically volunteers at a Californian dog shelter, and he takes them out for walks and spend time with them in the park, because people just generally leave their dogs behind and everything. And sometimes in the morning, I'll start watching it in the loo only, and then I start fucking crying, dude, because people abandon their dogs over the silliest fucking reasons, okay? They're like, she barks during my work calls. So they just returned like a 2-year-old dog after like taking them away. And then dog is like, has no idea why my family left me, right?
And the dog like imprints onto the owner, right?
Yeah,
like
they
become like, it's a pack thing. Like they're out of their pack now.
Yeah. In fact, like in one crate, they had to mention that please do not come and pet this dog unless you're going to take her home, because she's been given false hope so many times that now her heart breaks every time people come and go away. So I mean, I'm like thinking about it, tearing up, right? It's fuck all. It's just like humanity is the worst. Anyway, so like, you know, it's good to like then have animals around you to be like, hey, it's okay, fine. You know?
Yeah.
And immediately I'll go and hug my cats, and I'm glad they're in my life. You know?
Yeah. Totally.
Whatever happens. People are like, what will you run away with if your house is on fire? I'm like, the cats first.
Yeah, same.
Everything else can
always,
fuck us.
Is it always odd that this is the relationship I have with my wife?
I mean, apart from the milk drinking, everything else.
I don't say the caller by the same name ever. I have a million nicknames for her.
You pet her also, I've seen.
Pet her also. We have routines also.
So she wakes you up with scratches.
Yeah.
Naka has to go and clean her poop up afterwards. Put in a baggie.
She gets pissed when he's not been at home for too long.
Yeah.
Yeah, every furniture is it's just like...
And it's our house.
Oh man.
Life's good, man.
That's good, man. Hey, but you just played IROC recently.
Mm-hmm.
Again, IROC happened again, which is a great thing. If you all don't know, IROC is the OG rock and roll festival in India.
Independent rock, just to give you context.
Yeah. And I remember that IROC ka promo had once come on MTV when I was growing up, and they were covering Thunderstruck in the promo.
Yeah.
I don't know who was covering Thunderstruck, some band covering Thunderstruck, and that
Parikrama.
Was
huh? Parikrama.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. But then we all were like the first wave of people who were like, nee, we want to do original shit back then.
But then there was simultaneously a couple of others at the same time. There was Pentagram, who was like older than us actually.
Yeah.
But I mean, they still, when they came in, it was still that covers world, and they did do originals. So they were like at the forefront. There was Indiscreet before us.
Yeah.
We were just but when we came in, we just like, we will play our songs, our songs, our songs, our songs, our songs, our songs. If we have some extra time, maybe we'll throw in a cover for you.
Yeah.
You like us, please? If you don't like us, please fuck off.
what was the reaction to that then?
We got lucky, man. We got lucky. We went on stage and they liked us.
Yeah, they like good songs. Yeah.
So we got like, it could have gone the other way around. We did have some there was this one concert that Vishal Dadlani threw called Festival of New Noise.
Yeah.
There was Pin Drop Violence, there was Zero, and then Pentagram. And we for some reason decided at that gig, and we had like a whole bunch of set ready because Naresh Kamat, this bass player from Kailasa, was playing bass with us because our bass player had law exams at that point. So we decided for some reason to play only our songs and Beatles covers. Why? Because we felt like it. So it was just like one or two of our songs and then a Beatles cover, one or two of our songs and then a Beatles cover. And the audience got really fucking like random, like, what the fuck is going on, dude? It's like Beatles wasn't even, at that point, Beatles was not cool, and now in retrospect, Beatles is fucking everybody's, you know, you have to say it's awesome. And at that point, they probably didn't even know what the fuck we were playing.
Yeah.
So it's like, what are these new songs? We don't like them. It was weird. But there was like, people were like booing us and shit. And there were these couple of guys, these twins, who used to come for a lot of gigs. And they were heckling us to the point of, and this was at Rangbhavan, okay? Like, mega.
Yeah.
They were heckling us to the point of, one of them jumped onto stage. Now, our band was two, the other sweet Makabo boys.
Yeah.
Wouldn't hurt a fly. Like a fly will beat us and go away. We had to go to a police station to make a complaint.
Yeah.
And then the other half of the band were two Punjabi brothers.
Yeah.
So this Lauru in the crowd decides to jump on stage to heckle us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Straight in the face of our Punjabi vocalist, who threw the mic down and started fucking pummeling it. So he's beating the fucker. And there was like a gap between the barricades and the stage back then in Rangbhavan. So this asshole had jumped over and managed to come straight on stage. Rajiv lost it. Fucking mic down. Because all through the gig for the previous like 20-30 minutes, this guy was in his face showing him the finger.
Yeah.
So anyway, he was pissed with him. Then he got on to hit Rajiv's turf.
Yeah.
Dude. Rajiv pummeled him. They were down in the moat. Rajiv's fucking beating him there. Shiraz from Pentagram has come to help Rajiv. He's like, what the fuck? Fuck that guy. Rajiv has not noticed that Shiraz has come to help him. He's fucking whacking Shiraz. That guy got dragged by the audience. Like while Rajiv's beating him, the audience caught hold of his shirt. I mean, one of them is twin brother and their friends, I guess they were all in the group. They caught him and pulled that fellow by his t-shirt and arms back into the audience and away from Rajiv, dude.
Wow.
And I'm on stage playing.
Composing the beat.
I'm on stage playing. No, it's in the middle of a song.
Yeah.
I'm fucking doing whatever. And then I'm like, where the fuck is the... Why are there no vocals? The vocalist is in the pit fighting.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Warren. Warren's looking at me like... And Bobby's looking at us like... Can you stop the song so I can go beat him too? Oh no, Bobby wasn't there. Bobby wasn't there. That's why that didn't happen. If Bobby was there.
Yeah, that would have happened, yeah.
In fact, some years before when we were playing IIT, once in the LMs, again, some fucking people were heckling us and shit. And this IIT LMs used to be in the middle of the night, okay, in those days. It started like 11 p.m. and go on to like 5 in the morning. So sometime in the middle of the night, all men been drinking. Men, matlab, we're all college age in those days.
Mm.
Between 18 and 23, something like that. And people are drinking and then they're fucking abusing us in the LM. So, Punjabi boy gets pissed off, goes to fight with them. Bobby looks at Warren and goes, hey, hold my bass guitar.
takes the bass guitar, and then Bobby jumps down to fucking fight it.
Yeah.
Bye bye.
In true Christian format, you're like waiting. I have to protect the instrument, guys. Because then they can come here and attack the fucking.
We know. See, now, those guys are also half Christian and probably baptized also. But yeah. The Punjabi side is strong. Yeah. In that. Like Warren, East Indian. I'm East Indian. Go on. Like I ain't fighting with you unless like you're finishing the last peg of booze.
Yeah.
Then I'll fight you too.
Yeah. Or you can kidnap my wife. That's the most.
Kidnap my wife? What the fuck? I don't know that part.
I don't know.
The Goan thing?
I just say things sometimes. And I hope it sticks to the wall. Move on.
But fuck, man. It's such a different landscape. Like, it's so much more. It sounds like a wild, wild west of the music scene back in
it's
the
crazy.
Day.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it was even. Man, I've seen so many fights break out at gigs and Pentagram gigs and like metal gigs. Actually, metal is the least because they're like. Because they're all actually. Fucking sweetos and the energy, that's what it comes out. They'll mosh and all that. And after that, they'll go back to like petting their doggies and taking care of their cars.
Like Utkarsh, right? Like our manager, he's such a quiet guy, and then he plays for Pacifist, and you're like, who is this guy?
His hair and everything, just like, oh shit.
Dude, metal guys are absolutely the sweetest.
Yeah. Even Sanit Revankar.
Dude, Sanit are sweet. That's why all of them are sweethearts.
Yeah. Exactly. Such a cutie he is.
Totally. When you see them on stage, you're like, ये कहाँ से आ गया भाई?
Yeah. Oh fuck. And in the mosh pits, I was never ready for mosh pits until someone threw me in one. I feel like came out with like one bruised elbow. Oh,
how did it feel though?
It felt nice, like, but then I get the point of it. But sometimes it's like out of control. Nahi jata. It's like it's crazy, dude. It's crazy.
It seemed like too much.
One dude in the middle just going push.
Like post 20 something, you shouldn't be going for like moshes. Yeah. Unless you're like a MMA fighter or like you used to fighting, because it's like standing in front of the train.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, hit me. There's going to be impact.
Yeah.
Let's see how much damage. How much,
For those of you who don't know what mosh pitting is, you can look it up on the online, but it's like a thing that's associated with hard songs and like metal gigs and shit, basically, where everybody gets into a... Imagine like if they were doing matki ka, that, you know, cascading thing, like where they get on...
Human
pyramid.
Pyramid, yeah.
But it's the same number of people in a circle and pushing each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen like... riot police run at people.
No,
that's what it is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Riot police running at a group of protesters.
Yeah, yeah.
And them running back.
Yeah,
that's a mosh pit.
That's yeah.
Without the police shields and without the people going to jail at the end.
Yeah, is this a hatapai? Right?
Yeah.
I don't know what that is, but I will assume that's a mosh pit.
Yeah, it's you push and you grab and you push and you grab. Like,
no, it's like Dadar station.
Yeah. But Dadar station is still kind, okay? One guy falls, everybody will kind of like form a circle around him to bring him out.
See,
of that.
See, that's a mosh pit. Yeah. Even there they do.
I've seen people just like step on people and run away.
I've seen that at the station too.
Two Dadars, two mosh pits. Nice.
But I feel like we were at the first generation to start going to all these random places and do comedy, you know what I mean? And like music took a very different route when it came to that, because of obviously like you have four people and all, you know,
around,
but you have instruments and fucking this and like we just show up and that I think is also more dangerous for us at times, because we end up going to places where you're like alone, and if the crowd is against you, whatever, then you're fucked. Like everyone's run out of a kitchen once. You know?
That's true. I was taken from a back entry of the Malad venue.
There you go.
Because there was a group of MNS men standing on the floor below waiting for me to come out. Because, it's a bizarre episode.
This happened to me twice, I've done a show and then the organizer, and you don't even realize, the worst is like once I've done, nobody, you don't know only that you've done anything wrong. Everyone's having a great time, but that one dude in the back, he has taken offense and now he wants to see you. So the producer will like, as you get off, he'll be like, okay, come, let's have a conversation like this. And he'll take me to the kitchen and he fucking walked me out and he's like, aapka bag sab idhar hai. Jao.
There are so many, like even Bill X has done this one story where like the crowd was just against them.
I love that story.
Yeah, it's a great story. Just watch it on YouTube.
That Christian town wala story?
And the town, and they're still running and the check is, he's like, here's the check, run. It's like basically they were like tripping and they went to do a show and it's on YouTube entirely. I can't do any justice to it. Bill X does
watch
it. Like,
watch it properly.
In the entire like this group of comics, and that's the beauty of that generation where they would listen. You know what I'm saying? Like there's a group of comics, but they still listen to the one best guy in the room. He has that kind of personality.
But this is the thing I feel like now. I was watching Crashing. I don't know if you have watched Crashing, the Pete Holmes show. It's like It was pretty real. Like a lot of it is, it's about a comic. He basically becomes homeless in New York and he crashes at different comics' houses to make by. And this has happened. Like, my first tour was that only. There was no hotels. There was no fucking formal transport plan or fucking whatever. How did you all manage logistics back then? Like, it must have been such a pain in the ass.
It was a pain in the ass. It was a pain in the ass, man. And the first few years, I had to do it myself. Then we got a manager.
Yeah.
Fucking pain, dude. To just like... it was lucky starting off with friends. And see, we didn't start off with a commercial angle or anything, right? We were people who wrote songs and were going to perform them. We didn't care about future success. We didn't care about, like, we were like, we're fucking writing shit and we're going to come and rock out. So it was a lot easier than, like, now the world has changed, especially with, like, with regards to, like, art. People come in with this, because they have so much information and the network is there. There's, like, there was no internet, dude. I mean, internet, you have to go there and type some to do your projects. You know, you didn't use it for like anything else.
Motorcycle.
Even chatting came like 1-2 years later.
Yeah.
Like by 99-2000, I think we typed boop boop, that ICQ thing.
Yeah.
Before that, the internet was so, there was no way to reach people besides just like almost cold calling people randomly. Yeah. You know, you say, hello, we had this band, blah, blah, and then like, okay. There's no way to hear your music. Also, it's like, hey, check out my link. There's nothing. Come for my show.
Okay,
who the fuck are you?
The band is just ready in the background. Click, hello, listen. And there's like, 50 fast, play it, tune.
Dude, what people do.
But you almost send CDs and cassettes or whatever, like, everywhere, right? CDs, I think.
See, the first few years, bare CDs, man. We were college kids. And back then, if you had to record, it's not like now you just put on a computer, stick a mic in, then you had to spend thousands of rupees, which by the way, thousands back then was like lakhs now.
Yeah.
So we didn't have the money, dude. Yeah. So we didn't have recordings till, like, our first album was done 2000 on between Warren's home computer, Rajiv's home computer, and my home computer.
Yeah.
Rajiv had the highest amount of RAM, so the final recordings were done. Then by highest amount of RAM, I mean 16 MB.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, millibytes or some shit. What is it? I don't even remember.
What
is
MB? Megabytes.
Now it feels like millibytes. Yeah.
Millibytes would be like...
16 MB, dude. We did a whole album on a 16 MB computer, and it used to... So we used to like take ice packs in the fridge keep it by the CPU to cool it down. And you need to keep freezing tracks, which is like exporting them and then re-importing without processing, so you could do more. And the computers to keep freezing. And then it was like a different time. So before recordings even started, there was no way else besides, like, I used to turn up at every show and meet people and say 0000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000 and writing in my college journal that I am zero. And then like I look back at that and I was like, catchy thing. So the band was actually the zero band. First 2 years, I like first couple of years, just like go like meet people at gigs and I am zero. Zero. It's just like how Instagram is now. You're just like fucking trying to shove your fucking everything onto everybody. I used to do that in person.
Yeah.
It's just because there was no other way.
And
it ended up working. It actually ended up working because we got gigs. We got noticed. It's just like the first iRock we played was because I just puck out the Pentagram guys to come for our gig at Raz, which was 1 week before. And they came and we kicked ass. And then the next week, slot unexpectedly popped up for iRock.
Yeah.
And they knew us because they had come for a gig because I fucking puck out them into coming.
That's
like now people are still doing that only. Please come for my gig. Please for the tickets. And after pututu, all just eat at Joe's. Sign, eat at Joe's. Please eat at Joe's. $1 burger, $1 hot dog.
We are now the human equivalent of that tire thing.
Exactly. Eat at Joe's.
Link your performing. It's fucking shit.
I can't even tell anymore. Like, do we actually do our art or do we actually just do that?
Yeah.
What is what? Because I mean, all that is just advertising for your gig.
Yeah.
But
then when do you make the music for the gig?
What is going on?
That's what I was like. Even now I'm planning my tour now. And my partner is doing like a BTS documentary coverage of the entire thing. He's a filmmaker. But then he's like, in Bangalore, what will we do this? I'm like, you ask me none of this. Okay. I'm recording 290-minute shows. You understand what I have to do? I have to be funny on stage for fucking 360 minutes.
You have to cut him out of the thing. Like with this special, with Nasty also, it's like There is a space allotted for the special and then nothing else is about that.
Yeah, he understood now, like even with my queer-rated property, he understands like what his role is and doesn't like then impede on my thing, you know what I'm saying? I'm just like, this is not going to happen, dude, if it's like, if it's going to be all of us just like cooking too many fucking...
No, it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to take a very quick break now and be back with more of Set Kuto.
Yeah. I was saying, I want to have a homeopathic medicine in a backyard sitting area. So it will be placebo in a gazebo.
You know what? Say what you want. I do agree with this. I do feel this thing with all the medication stuff out there. Where it's like, you have, like, we don't know only, dude, our bodies. We don't know shit, dude. Like, we pretend to know shit. Half the shit we don't know. All we know is, oh, we found this chemical that does this thing.
Yep.
And then we feel like, oh, now we know. But there's like million mysteries left. So
no,
like,
they in the actual community, they know they don't know. Hence, medicine is called a practice. They don't know shit. They've understood some things and with their limited understanding, they develop what they can to help in a way that they can at that point.
Yeah.
That's it.
Like surgeries in the 1800s was literally fucking hammer and nail and fucking go at it and figure out what the fuck to do with the guy when he's broken.
Man, you know that phrase, blowing smoke up your asses, right?
Yeah.
They used
what?
To blow smoke up people's ass as a medical treatment.
What?
Your stomach's upset, they'd be fucking blowing smoke up your ass.
Fuck.
That was literally the medical treatment.
Fuck.
So right now what we know in like 100 years from now, we're going like, what the fuck, you were taking steroids?
Yeah.
Like cocaine started out as fucking medicine.
Like no whenever see there's a cancer arc in a story, for example, and then you see a character deteriorate like doing fucking a chemo, I'm like, never will I want that to be like how is that ever a good thing? Like, you know, we're gonna ruin your life in way
worse. They sell you on the odds, right?
Yeah,
like they're like, hey, you're 100% gonna die, but this thing works for 1 out of 4 people.
Yeah.
You know, if your choices are still like one, if you're going to die, if you're told, for example, you have 1 year to die, but this has the chance of giving you maybe another 5 years. At that point, man, you make, after you're crying and you make your, like, you play odds.
Yeah.
Some
people
would probably be like, fuck it, I'm okay with
1 year
living in whatever, 1 year. Fuck that shit. That's enough time to say bye also.
Yeah, yeah.
Some people are desperate to hold on, man. So you try whatever you try.
And I think also a lot of it is at that point, like breast cancer and all. Like if it's caught at an early stage, they figured it out. Like if they give you the chemo, you'll get sick as fuck for a year. But then you are definitely, like, I know a lot of people are still alive, like after 30, 40 years.
In our church also, one lady, like fully, like, and that's the thing, right? Like we saw her like hale and hearty, and then you see like all hair gone, and then like one boob is gone, and like she's still like somehow managing to keep the positivity, but like you see, like as she's wearing the monkey caps or as she's wearing the muffler, like it's like she's not herself.
Yeah.
But then she was healed and then she came back to her former glory. But it's like so many times you just lose them, you know?
So it really depends on what cancer you have, man.
Yeah.
Like, I think breast cancer, because of the location of it, they've been able to deal with it much more than other organs that are inside.
Invasive, it's like,
They can. I mean, it's horrible for the person to lose a body part.
Yeah.
But it's a localized thing.
Yeah, it's a way to get out of it.
There are things where they can't do anything because it'll kill you immediately.
Mm. As Akash was saying, right? Like earlier, it's like you have a mental illness, lobotomy, it'll put a fucking thing.
That was the
here,
worst shit, like, dude. Fucking ice pick up your nose.
Nose and all. And
my
just, like,
God.
Yeah, and then rendered.
Things doesn't know about this. You don't know about this. There was a motherfucking doctor, dude.
Yeah.
He used to go around America and he used to say ki main 30 second mein lobotomy karke dega tumko, tum tension mat lo. Aur he used to fucking do like marathons.
Yuck.
Fuck, dude.
Okay, let's change the topic from
if people
this.
Don't, but just to like put underlining thing to it, because like that was like how homosexuality was treated for the longest time, lobotomizing people. So first there was shock therapy. They would show men fucking on camera and then give you shocks and make you vomit or throw up, so you have a negative reaction to the idea of anal sex or whatever. And then if that did not work, in worst cases, they would do this chisel against their fucking skull and do this. And in the meantime, just like, you know, they're like a soup body, just like drooling and like nothing. And like, at least he's not gay, you know?
Yeah.
Fucking assholes.
Kennedy's,
you know what I'm saying?
Kennedy's sister, they did this to, dude. They did this to Kennedy's sister, like the one who got shot, the older one, the one who got shot first.
Yeah.
His sister had been lobotomized by this fucking guy, like the most energetic person who just became a zombie for the rest of her life.
Yeah.
That shit stuck with them.
I used to read Tinkle comics and I realized, like, now when they say, like, you know, like the first flight was done by Lord Ram and we had the first official birth, and I'm like, okay, that seems far-fetched, but like that's the narrative now, right? And we kind of like say okay, but I was reading Tinkle comics and they were like the first stitching surgeon who realized how to stitch wounds up was Rishi Muni, who would take ants and make them bite that open wound. And then as they would seal the wound, he would break the heads off. And I'm just like, okay, I believe this because I'm a child who's reading an Indian comic and I don't know the legitimacy of it, if anybody knows if it's true or not.
Yeah.
But that was the thing. Like, I'm like, but then wouldn't that just... That creature has pathogens. It's literally roaming on the ground. And if you take it and put it on an open wound, doesn't that cause more bacterial...
But then it's like you're playing the odds again, right? Like it being open versus it being shut.
Yeah, the amount of poor ants that just... Oh, fuck, sorry, Rishi Muni. Coming from... Oh, okay, cool.
You want to read any comments from the live stream?
This is the first time we're doing this. Yeah. So today we have Priyanka, Shweta... nice. Shubha Smith, our friend Fluffy Pink
Shubha
Candy
Smith?
Cuff. Shubha, not your wife. Shubha Smith Gupta, yeah. And then there's Fluffy Pink Candy Cuff Sexy Man.
Fair.
So, yeah. Everybody's saying multiple things. Right now, nobody's live because we took a smoke break.
Okay. Perfect. But that's the way we want it to be.
Yeah, right.
But, I actually hung out with Shweta this time. Shweta bought a meet and greet ticket, which she didn't really need to at this point, but she bought one anyway from the kindness of her heart. She's this person in Pune. And it's crazy to be where so many of the people who started off as fans, like Chetna is the best example.
Yeah.
Animesh is another great example. Like they used to just come to gigs, dude, and we used to just fucking hang out at gigs. And then we just ended up hanging out apart from gigs.
Awesome.
You know, it's so fucking nice to have those kind of relationships in this. Do you have any of those in music?
Just like one fan I've kept in touch. Who's like turned it from fan to fan, otherwise not really.
Not really,
not
no.
Not really, no.
I think it's different also for musicians. Because like y'all are on stage and...
And we are off stage.
No, but like, you know.
See, then also we're in a group generally, right? So like the dynamic
that's
changes.
That's what.
Like, yeah, like we got each other types, you know?
No, but it's also that's what we're in a group. And whatever little conversation, we're still huddling together as a group.
Right.
So this, if you're alone, like, and I'm alone and I'm at a gig, then fuck. Somebody talking to you and you can have a conversation, fucking thank God, because otherwise I would go back to my hotel room and get fucking bored.
Yeah.
It's different. You're when it's a band and they're all your friends.
Yeah.
We're having a fucking great time, whether it's just zero people in the audience.
You know?
Fucking having a blast. We're ready to go back to our hotel room and laugh and party all evening.
Yeah.
If somebody joins us, great. Somebody joins us, doesn't join us, great. We don't even notice.
Yeah.
Because we're having a great time.
Yeah,
I think that's a big difference.
It's always for those people who come from like the outside comedy fraternity. So if we are chilling like fully with all of us, somebody from the outside has zero idea of like what's happening, right? And they're like, okay, what's
Yeah, but I think that's another thing. Like in like this wedding, I was hanging out with so many musicians. I never felt like I was like, occasionally it'll be like, oh, you remember this guy, oh, you remember that guy. But with comics, it's incessant. The only thing they talk about is not even comedy. It's just other comics. It's so fascinating to me, dude. Like, isne ye kiya, isne to itna paisa kama diya, isne to wo kiya. And I'm like, dude, but like, at least, like, can we discuss why we're here? Like, we love jokes. Can't we at least talk about jokes?
Like, also about life. I think there's very little, like, you know, sometimes when I'm in the green room, And like, so you and I talk and we on this podcast, I've shared a lot of my life openly.
Yeah.
But to one comic who's a common friend, I once mentioned this whole fact that like, you have to be very careful with, so sometimes people are so fucking dumb, they don't know what douching means. And I'm like, you can't just go into a butt and fuck it for like an hour or whatever, right? Like, it'll obviously have problems. Like, imagine, like, it's basic human anatomy. So you have to basically douche. So you have to clear out all the pipes and then somebody goes in, right? So they have no idea, like, what the fuck does that help with? And I'm like, so, okay. For example, I was screwing this guy once and I had a condom on. But like, after some time, I noticed that after 5 minutes, there's poop on the condom. So then, and I'm like, okay. I'm like, I'm sorry, you have to clean up. And he's like, well, it's fine. And by the time he got up to check, this guy's having a straight up diarrhea on my bed, okay?
Yeah.
So now I'm telling this comic and he's like, next Thursday I'm in the same green room, he's told fucking 5 more straight comics, okay? And now they're discussing it in front of me as if like Davina Jaisa bola tha, ha, aisa ho, aisa, so I'm like, then that's what I'm saying, right? Like if one little aspect of my life, which is not even like a major thing for me, becomes that fucking thing. Like so many of them don't know that I had to leave my house because my mom didn't accept my partner, you know?
Yeah.
So they have no context. But then like all they're talking about all the time is just ki mera aisa, mera ye city kya, ye share mein aisa, usme wo aisa city ka comic tha, uska aisa. I'm just like, you know, not even saying it like out of respect, sorry, I'm just spitting. No. Spitting bars.
Spitting truth.
Truth, right? I'm cleaning up also afterwards. It's like, I'm so subservient to that. Amit my baap, please, I'm saaf kiya. But it's just that, right? I'm like, talk about something else. Talk about life, dude. People come, like, I'm sometimes, like, in our show, for example, the queer comedy show we do, like, Ankur, this is a Dalit comic from Bede, okay? Now, okay. She brings so much perspective. Her parents are Dalit activists, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Who have done, like, the entire life has been spent on fighting for DBA rights. And so when she comes and tells us, for example, now she's a openly queer and Dalit comic. So she's a woman. So she's like so many rungs of fucking extremism she has to face, right? And so when she's talking about it, she's just giving me so much insight about the kind of hate she's getting, and she's asking her parents because they are like seasoned activists, and they're like, you take it all in your stride and then you prove it in a comedic way, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, that's what I want to hear. I don't want to hear ki uska feeling kya hai usse comic ke ghar ke bare mein.
Yeah, wahi na. But I found the trick here. You single them out. Like, you talk to them one on one, then the conversation becomes very this.
Yeah.
The minute comics are on other comics, they feel like they need to one up the next guy.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I'm last person to try and one up anybody. So like, then when they're talking to me one on one, they know they're the funnier person in the conversation.
Yeah.
So then they open up and then they talk about life.
But Akash becomes very Delhi when the Delhi comic is in the room. I've noticed
that. Yeah, I become very Delhi. I embrace it. I enjoy that part of me.
Yeah. That day, we were in the Habitat Green Room. Akash is there with me and he's talking like this only to me. He's like, you know. And then Vijay Yadav walks in and he's like, "Arey yar, kaisa tha yar? Kal karenge na." And this one, like, I want to write an entire bit on this, but when Delhi people say curry, it's just like curry kara. It's just like, maine to bahut wait kara. Like, we say kiya in Bombay, or like, maine. But they say kara.
Yeah.
So it's just like, it's so funny.
Linguistics, man.
Kalesh, they say Kalesh.
Kalesh ho gaya. Kalesh ho gaya. Is one of the more popular ones.
Yeah.
Have you heard the Kalesh? Are, at Metal King mein bahut Kalesh hota hai.
They Kalesh into each other. Yeah, Vartalab part 2. If you're with us, then you're for us. you're not against us. We're doing the house. Tell us some stories from like the IROC days that were like so scandalous that you would never mention it to somebody else.
I won't mention it.
It's too open a question, man. Like,
but it was a scrappy.
IROC used to be scrappy. I remember that overwhelming memory of it being just barely managing.
Man, the fun of IROC was like, especially back then, is the audience reaction to bands. It was a very group, like a church, like a collection of people acting as one. Right. You know, whatever, like if they didn't like the band, the whole audience would turn on the band. If they liked the band, the whole audience would like the band.
Mm.
It was like almost
herd mentality.
Yeah, it was a herd fucking mentality in this one concert that happened every year. It was wild. Like, I remember once the whole audience hated the band. I can't remember which band, thankfully. So they first sat down, okay. When the
dirt.
No, I mean, tiled and all. It wasn't muck back then. In Rangbhavan.
Hmm.
It was a proper auditorium. So the crowd sat down. Then they realized the band was not getting pissed off enough. So they turned around.
Oh, wow.
imagine they play. There's fucking 5,000 people in front of them, but they're sitting down and facing away from them. And I wasn't doing that because I actually knew two or three of those people on stage.
Yeah.
I wasn't about to like do that. The people in front of me fucking whacked my legs. Hey, Matt. Matt. Guma. He was like, okay, I'm not getting beaten up for these parts. I turned on. Okay, this is fun. This is a fun group activity. That was amazing. I love that shit. And like, I won't name the band. One year there was this band that launched their album, okay? Video. So album, video at the same time. And this is their video. And the video had a woman in a bikini in it. And every time the woman in the bikini came on screen, because it was on the big screens, the audience was like, and when she switched back to the band, the audience was like, boo! And the band is standing on stage while the video is playing. And this is happening, dude. It was like, boo! 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 Yeah! Boo! And that happened for the entire video. So much fun, dude.
Never again, dude.
I love that shit, my friend. It was so much
fun. I got my answer eventually.
When I walked in, it's not really scandalous or anything, but my first memory of IROC walking in to play, it was Sound check. Zero had just been called the previous night. So we're like, oh, fuck, wow. No preparation time that we're playing iRock. Walk in and I go backstage and Agni's sitting there. And yeah. I'd been listening to Agni at that point since 1990, 91.
Yeah.
And this was now 97, 98. So, fuck, these are like rock gods to me, dude. I walk in and there's three of them sitting. One of them has a bottle of whiskey or vodka. The other guy has a bottle of whiskey or vodka. The third guy didn't drink. The guy who owns Kayani Bakery. Shrewsbury, I love you, man, Ross. You fucking, I love you so much, dude. Shrewsbury biscuit, greatest biscuit on the fucking planet.
It is, yeah.
Like, I call my girl cat Cookie because she smells like Shrewsbury biscuits.
Yeah, female cats smell very nice.
Yeah, no?
Cookie.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the two guys with literally a full bottle in front of them each. They've got their hands on their bottles. There's no glass, was mixer, nothing, yeah. Bottle. And it's sound check, dude. So that's, it's like 11, 12, yeah. 1, 2. You know, not appropriate drinking time as far as I used to think as a kid. And walk in and these rock stars are there with two bottles of booze. I mean, this is what you hear about in the movies, right? This
yeah,
is what happened.
Yeah, yeah.
One guy, T-Totter, fucking sitting there air drumming. And the vocalist was upside down against the wall. This like headstand, handstand thing up against the wall. So we walk into that. Wow, we made it, baby. Yeah. Cannot get crazier than this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Then another iRock story. Yeah, it's probably iRock. Yeah, it was a drunk one. It was
a disclaimer with many stories.
Yeah. Who fucking remembers? It's been freaking hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of gigs and years and spliffs. So who remembers?
Yeah.
Yeah, so this one gig, we were headlining Rangbhavan, and we had this idea like, why don't we invite all the other bands to come up on stage in the last song and throw peaches at the audience? Because we did that song, millions of peaches for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, so we'd end that and we'll throw peaches into the audience.
Yeah.
Like, not at them, like throw it in. Yeah. Like, you'll see what we're doing. Then we invited PDV and this whole bunch of other bands. The time came, we were headlining that gig, so it's like right at the end of the night, last song. We invite all the other bands, PDV, a couple of other bands, and they all come running on stage. They had 8 peaches. And we had got a crate. We had got a fucking crate, okay? Like a big ass fucking box. 2 cats would fit in there, you know? And it was in the green room. But when they came out, there were only 8 peaches.
Like, 8 the peaches?
Yeah.
Okay. P-Man in the end, he's like taking the hay out and throwing the hay at the audience. Okay? then he threw the box at the audience. Because there was so much hay in the thing, anyway. And we didn't know, like, what the fuck happened. Years later, we found out that this guy, Keith Vegas, who was the guitar player of Gary Lawyer's band, who'd played that night, they were in the green room drinking at that point, and they saw this crate of peaches. And then Keith Vegas told his bass player, Keith Pinto, Juliet, his wife, Juliet makes very nice peach snaps. So he took all our peaches. He filled the peaches in his bag.
Yeah.
And he took it home for his wife to make peach snaps.
Not even like he got her there to make snaps in
the took it and went. And he years, like 10 years later or something, he met Warren once and I didn't know what you're gonna toy us. Juliet made very good peach snaps.
Someone was happy at the
end. Yeah, dude, it was a mystery for a decade, dude. Like, what the fuck happened to our peaches?
Yeah.
Like, our gear didn't get robbed from the fucking green room. My peaches got robbed. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like they went to Call Me By Your Name cassette, all of them.
This is like the canvas ka green room. The only thing that, like, chargers would get stolen from the canvas green room. Nothing else would get stolen from the club.
Wires.
You could leave, wires. Especially wires. Like, those USB charging cable. People would just fucking flick them all the time. I think it's the right size of stealing.
There must have been wire gnomes.
Wire gnomes. You go to the wall and there's this civilization of
built on wire. Yeah.
They're the ones running around and making people laugh also.
Yeah.
Dude, they're the structure of Palladium, guys.
It's USB cables.
It's the soul of all those 4 men standing like this in that exhibition.
Oh man,
spirit of Mumbai.
Right now, when you end, in the truck,
with the truck,
the amount of times, dude. Yeah, but it's like character, it's none of those people will ever see it.
Ever see that, yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm. It's the fucking biggest travesty.
If you don't know what we're talking about, it's an art piece called Spirit of Mumbai, which is in Palladium, which is the most high-end mall, which is already a mill that was taken over to become a mall. So yeah. Like, people work there, poor people will never be able to enter that fucking place. And just to mock them a little more, they have this piece where like all these gutty people who go like this from Churchgate to Virar, they have made that an art piece. In a diamond studded, like some reflective surface, so it looks fancy.
But that's what it looks like to rich people from their cars. Yeah. It's like, oh, what a shiny truck.
Yeah. or an emblem of Mumbai's, you know.
Resilience.
Yeah. See those guys, they're all hanging with their friends. Yeah. We should have this in like a St. Regis or something so that we also can do this.
Yeah.
Oh, it's metal balls. Are those silver balls? No, then we can't do this. Silver minimum.
The funniest is when you ask rich people to do like Halloween or like to do any costume party, they do a very bad of it. Like they just at least show up in some effort or nothing they're trying to do. For just like, I just wore an orange shirt, I'm Munna Bhai now.
I get very lazy to do costume
parties. Come as Mallika Shirawat as a snake and then
Dude, now that I'm bald, I mean, it's just easy. I'm always Lex Luger.
You can be Shakal.
Otherwise, I hate it.
The Indian Lex Luger. It should be Shakal, dude. It should be... Oh. Yeah. Shakal from Mr. India.
Oh fuck, I've forgotten that.
Yeah.
Mukamo Ghoshwar.
Shakal is from
another movie.
Shan. Yeah. Sorry. I just confused my own thing. Mugambo is from Mr. India. Yeah. They had a fucking moat under him where there are sharks.
Mugambo Ghoshwar. And these idiots used to jump like...
No, Shakal had that because of the sharks.
No, Mugambo had the
lava.
Sharks.
Mugambo had a hot lava.
Yeah, it was hot lava.
Shakal had the sharks.
Sharks, yeah.
That's a fun co-op housing.
If I'm wrong, please
meeting.
Correct me. But Mugambo had like hot lava, and Shakal had the. That's why when like in the end, the whole system Mugambo's thing is running. They all like, let's get out of here because it's fucking falling apart. It's classic sci-fi.
I want to be in that society meeting. Shakal sir, aapka sharks ka party, aap log green bag mein nahi dalta hai, Shakal sir. Yeah, we
are still. Hamare Shintu ka ball chala gaya. Ball lene ke uska haath kha liya.
At least wet waste karo. Aap segregate nahi karta hai.
Yeah.
But it was long time ago. Old movie, na? And then there's not segregated. Yeah, that's why. That's why it was okay. Yeah. That's why.
Yeah. Oh, then it would be more of, sir, aapka wo shark tank ka leakage aa raha hai mere idhar diwal pe.
Yeah. Like, hi sharks, meri offering hai. Ek bachcha. 0.1 shark fin ke liye. Have you seen the movie Beach by Danny Boyle?
DiCaprio
one. Yeah.
It was a book, right?
Yeah, it's a book, and then like Robert Carlyle, DiCaprio, Kate Blanchett. Yeah. Not Kate Tilda Swinton, the other lanky one. The other weird looking one. But in that movie, there's a very beautiful representation of a shark bite, okay? And like one of them is like a white guy, and then the shark just bites his entire half, okay? And then there's this like full holes on his body. And the whole idea of the movie is that there are commune living off coast in Thailand, and it's just like all these hippies who have found paradise, okay? And they don't tell anybody that they're living here and it's an ecosystem, but there's no medicine or whatever, or like ways to take care of somebody like that.
Right.
So they just leave him to die outside.
Whoa.
So then this man for 4 days, Leonardo DiCaprio is with him, like, don't worry, I'll be with you. But they're like, you know, you can't come inside back and have fun, but let that man die, okay? And it's the most brutal thing I've ever seen.
Fuck,
pardon this part.
Yeah, thankfully. I know.
Is it a true story?
No, it's a book. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If
this island paradise was a real thing, you'd know about it.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Somebody who fucking put a story.
Eventually, yeah.
Some dumb fucking kid from fucking.
Yeah, like hidden gems in Thailand. Guys, maine aaj hidden gems discovered.
You can take a flight from Phuket, you can take a boat from here.
Aapko last mein tehna padega, lekin aapko swimming karne ke liye classes jana chahiye.
Great partnership with the beach.
Yeah. 199 rupees only.
They'll go to Kolkata, they'll be like, hidden gems, Peter and Co. Peter Cat. I'm like,
okay. Chalo, I think that's we've gotten a good hour out of this.
We didn't speak of much of Kultos.
Do you want to speak more about
But we can come back, of course, and do more stories.
Sure.
Because it's fun. Like, I think whenever we have guests who are like, let's go, we are like, let's go.
He's hung out with me a few times. He said, you'll come there and do the same thing we're doing now. Yeah. So cool, bro. It's true to your word. That's exactly what you're talking about.
Exactly.
Yeah. I like it. It's just nice to meet you.
Now he's saying hi.
It's just, usually this happens on his terrace and under slightly different circumstances, and now it's in a room.
Let's go.
I like that motion. Let's go.
Chalo.
Okay. Boom, guys. Thank you so much for listening.
All right. And we'll see you next week. More guests, more fun stories. And until then, this is me, Naveen. Cheers, that's Akash.
And that's Sitkutu.
Sitkutu and this is Vartalam.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bye.
Goodbye.